Today's daf is Kuf Nun Zayin. We'll begin with the Mishnah on Kuf Nun Vav Amid Beis. The Mishnah says, Mechatchinus Adluim, if you have certain kinds of vegetables, gourds, that were already cut before Shabbos, and now you want to cut them into smaller pieces, Lufnei Behema, to feed your animals, even though on Erev Shabbos you had designated it for human consumption, but now you decided to change its purpose and feed the animals, you're allowed to do that. And this Mishnah reflects the Shita Rabbi Shimon in Mukta. And then, Umechatchinus Hanavela Lifnei Aklovin. And we're also permitted, if an animal dies, to cut up its Nevela and feed the animals, even though on Erev Shabbos we didn't anticipate that the animal would die. We thought we would shech the animal and feed it to people. Rav Yehuda Omer, Im lo hoisa nevela me'erev Shabbos, if the animal died on Shabbos and not on Erev Shabbos, asura, you're not allowed to move the corpse of the animal for the purpose of feeding the dogs, lefi she'eino min ha'muchan, because you didn't prepare it on Erev Shabbos. Now, how do we paskin with regard to the machlokas Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon in Mukta? The Gemara says, Itmar Omar Ula Halachik Rav Yehuda. We paskin like Rav Yehuda that you have to specify and designate something on Erev Shabbos for its exact use, for its purpose, and you're not allowed to be metaltalit for any other purpose. V'yaf Rav Sovar Halachik Rav Yehuda. Rav also agrees that Halachik Rav Yehuda like Ula. So we have now Ula and Rav, both paskin like Rav Yehuda. Midekarche dezuze, and we could derive this conclusion about Rav's opinion from the fact that Rav, with regard to machzelos, which were, if you recall, the mats that were used to cover the merchandise on the boats, and those were not prepared for Shabbos, Rav Osar, Rav did not allow you to use those mats to cover anything else on Shabbos, because they weren't designated for use on Shabbos. And that reflects the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda in Muktzah. But Shmuel Shari, Shmuel Paskin like Rabbi Shimon, and therefore he was lenient, and even though the mats going into Shabbos were designated for a certain specific use, you can use them for other uses, because a person has somehow in the back of his mind the possibility that he'll use it for other purposes. And that's called Muchan. The Aflevi Sovrek Rabbi Yehuda. And now we have, in addition to Ula and Rav, we have Levi. Levi also agrees that we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. Ki hod Levi kavi maisi treifta lekame biyomi tava. If they brought an animal for the investigation of Levi in front of him on Yontif itself to figure out if the animal was a treifa or not a treifa, lavi chazile, he wouldn't check out the animal, Eloki Yosef Akil Kalisa, unless he situated the animal immediately contiguous to the garbage dump, the rubbish bin, so that if they would find it to be a treifa, it would immediately go into the rubbish bin. The Omar Dilma Lo Miskashra, perhaps the animal will turn out to be a treifa, V'afil L'Klovim Lo Chazi, we can't even feed it to the animals. So we see that according to Levi, like we saw before in Rav, if an animal is determined to be non-kosher on Yontif itself, then it's Mukta. And that reflects the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda in Mukta. So we have now lined up Ula, Rav, and Levi. They all paskin like Rabbi Yehuda L'chumra in Mukta. Ushmuel Amar Alachik Rabbi Shimon. As we said earlier, Shmuel was the Mekel. He accepted Rav Shimon. V'af Ze'iri Savar Alachik Rav Shimon. And we now can line up Shmuel together with Ze'iri. This time we have a Mishnah at the end of Masechta Beit. So it says, Behema Shem Mesa Lo Yazizena Mimkoma. If an animal dies on Yontif, it's Osir B'Tiltul. V'tirgama Ze'iri. But Ze'iri interpreted as Behemas Kodshim, which was Osir Bano, and therefore you're not allowed to feed it to a dog. Aval Bechulin, But in the case of a behemah chulin that wasn't sanctified as hegdish and it's mutar b'hanoah, shapir dom, you're allowed to feed it to the animals. So we have now lined up Ula, Rav, and Levi on the one hand, paskening lechumra like Rabbi Yehuda. Now we have lined up on the other side Shmuel and Zeiri together with Rabbi Yochanan, and they all hold lekula that we pasken like Rabbi Shimon. The Gemara asks, "Umi Omer Rabbi Yochanan Hachi? Is it possible that Rabbi Yochanan paskens like Rabbi Shimon? Omer Rabbi Yochanan Locha Kistam Mishnah? Rabbi Yochanan always paskens like an anonymous Mishnah. Snan. And here we start today's daf. That's Kufnun Zayin. We have a Mishnah in Beta that says Ein Mevakim Eitzim Min Akoros. If a beam falls down from the ceiling of a building, and now you want to use on Yontif these beams as wood for your fire, we're not allowed to cut them up and use them as logs for the fire because they were designated as part of the building and not for the purpose of serving as firewood. And in the first case you had beams that were designated for building purposes. Second case, you had beams that were part of the structure of the building. They were in the ceiling itself, and they broke and fell on Yontif. And since Bein HaShmoshos, as we entered into Yontif, these koros were designated for building, therefore the owner of these koros excluded them for any other use. And this is a Stam Mishnah that reflects the Shita Rabbi Yehuda. Now we have a principle of Rabbi Yochanan that we paskin Kistam Mishnah. How can he therefore be paskin like Rabbi Shimon when we have a Stam Mishnah that reflects the Shita Rabbi Yehuda? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan, Hahu ki Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda Masnile. Rabbi Yochanan in the Mishnah in Beitza of Ein Mevakim Eitzim, he had a different girsa. According to his text, it said that it was Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, who said that you're not allowed to be mevakea these eitzim. So that it's not a stam mishnah, and therefore we don't have to paskin like that mishnah. Toshma, the Gemara is going to ask a kash from a different mishnah. We have a mishnah in Beitza, maschilin barema sateven. On Yontif, you begin using a pile of straw, even though until now he hasn't used this straw at all, because straw usually is designated for hasaka, for fire, for fuel. And Gemara thinks now that this teven, this straw, is saruach. Saruach means it's not usable. It's already spoiled. The only thing you can do with it is use it as firewood in your fire. Avolo, we cannot use for fuel the Eitzim Sheba Mukta. Mukta is a wide plot of land that they had behind the house, and they used to use it for storage of trees and wood, so that after a certain period of time they would use these pieces of wood. And these Eitzim were placed in the Mukta. His Das on Erev Shabbos was not to use it for fuel, and therefore he's not allowed to use it for Hasaka. And we see here now a Stam Mishnah that reflects the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, that if Bein HaShmoshos, this wood was not prepared for purposes of use for his fire, therefore it's Mukta. And once again, reflecting the Shita Rabbi Yehuda in Mukta, how is it possible that Rabbi Yochanan paskins like Rabbi Shimon, we have a Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Yehuda? So Gemara answers, Hosam bi'arze v'ashuche. That Mishnah is not talking about, as we saw it, the Arema Sateven, but rather it's talking about Erez v'ashuach. These are very expensive kinds of piece of wood, and because of the expensive nature of these woods, they come from cedar trees and so forth, they were designated exclusively for building. And that's called Mukta Machmas Chisoron Kis Afilu Rav Shimon Moda. If you have an object which you set aside in a certain place and you don't want to use it because it's very expensive, then even Rav Shimon agrees that on Shabbos you cannot change your mind and decide to use that object. You were makta midas. You had a positive exclusion that you would not use this on Shabbos. And that's called mukta machmas chisaron kis. In fact, we discuss this in the case of various kinds of tools that have teeth, very sharp teeth to them. And it could get ruined if you misuse it. So you designate it for a certain use, which is, let's say, for plowing a field, and you lock it up, and even Rabbi Shimon agrees that that is called Mukta Machmas Chisaron Kis. Toshma, we have a Mishnah at the end of Masechta Beitza, another case of a Stam Mishnah. Ein mashkin v'shochatim b'yontif es ha-behemos ha-midborios. Behemos midborios are animals that go outside the city, far away from the tchum of yontif, and now you want to feed them if they show up in your backyard on yontif, or you want to shech them, and the Mishnah says you're not allowed to do so, because you want to give drink to an animal before Shechita. The reason why they used to feed liquids to an animal before Shechita is it would make it easier to take off the skin, to skin the animal after the Shechita. And you're not allowed to do this because these midbarios, Spena Shmoshos, he had no das, he didn't anticipate or expect that he would get access to these animals. And this again reflects the Shechita of Rabbi Yehuda, that unless you have a positive hachana, it's mukta. Aval mashkin, the Shochatin, Habaisos, the Mishnah concludes by telling us that there are local domesticated animals that you'll find Baisios, and although sometimes they do go far out, but usually they come back at night to sleep within the Tchum of Shabbos, so he has Das that he might Shech them. But in any event, the ratio of this Mishnah, in the case of Midbarios, seems to indicate a Stam Mishnah ki Rabbi Yehuda. How could it be that Rabbi Yochanan passes like Rabbi Shimon against Rabbi Yehuda? He has a Stam Mishnah ki Rabbi Yehuda. And the Gemara answers, Rabbi Yochanan stomach rina ashkach. Rabbi Yochanan found another Stam Mishnah that reflects the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, and he now has a contradiction between two Stam Mishnahs. One Mishnah in Masechet Shabbos and another Mishnah at the end of Beitza. So now it's a flip of the coin, so to speak. The decision, the discretion is handed over to Rabbi Yochanan to decide which of the two Mishnayis, both of which are Stam Mishnayis, he wants to accept. And he decided he wants to accept the following Stam Mishnah that we're about to learn, which reflects the Shita of Rabbi Shimon in Muktzah. Beit Shammai Omrim Magbiyah Me'al HaShulchan Atzamos U'Klipin. Beit Shammai Amekil, according to this text in the Mishnah, which we had back on Daf Kuf Mem Gimel, that if you finish your meal and you have bones and various kinds of klipos that are left after the meal, and these are edible for animals, so even though Bein HaShmoshos, he expected to eat this food, but since it's part of the food and it's not edible, he wants to give it to the animals, then he's allowed to do it, and this reflects the Shita Rabbi Shimon. Beis Hillel Omrim, they still say, no, you're not allowed to pick up these atzamos and klipos, because Bein HaShmoshos, they were designated as part of the food for human consumption. And now Beis Hillel reflects the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, that the atzamos and klipos are mukta because he didn't prepare them specifically for human consumption on Erev Shabbos entering into Bein HaShmoshos. He didn't expect to use them for animals, so therefore they're also betiltul. But rather, what can you do according to Beis Hillel? Misalik es ha-tavla. Tavla is the plate on which you keep these atzamos and klipos on top of the table. Kula, and he shakes them out of menara, and as a result, the atzamos and klipos fall on their own. And that's not called tiltul biyodayim. That's not direct tiltul. That's called indirect tiltul, and that's mutter. Oh, so where did Rabbi Yochanan see here a Stam Mishnah ke Rabbi Shimon? After all, it's only Beit Shammai who passes like Rabbi Shimon. Om Rav Nachman, because Rabbi Yochanan had the girsa of Rav Nachman. Anu ein lanu ela beit Shammai ki Rabbi Yehuda beit Sil ki Rabbi Shimon. Our version of the price, as we had it in tradition, was that we switch around the shittas of Beisil Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai is the machmir, and he says you're not allowed to directly move the atzamos and the klipos for animal use, reflecting the shita of Yehuda and Muktzah. They weren't prepared specifically for animal use going into Yontif, going into Shabbos. Ubeis Hillel, they reflect the shita of Rabbi Shimon, they're mekil, and they allow you to feed the animals, even though Bein Hashmashos, it was only designated for human consumption. And based on this Mishnah, we have a principle that Mishnas Beit Shammai Eitzel Beis Hillel Lav Mishnah, that when you have a Mishnah like with which records a controversy between Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai, we always pass it like Beis Hillel. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan, seeing that Beis Hillel, in the case of Atzamos uklipos, reflects the Shita of Rabbi Shimon and Muktzah, he paskins therefore like Beis Hillel and like Rabbi Shimon. The Gemara now goes into detail about the final decision in Halacha in terms of the Machlokes, based Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. Not only in Muktzah, but even beyond Muktzah, we have many cases in Masechta Shabbos where Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda are at loggerheads. Is Pligi Bar of Acha Ravino Chadom or Bechol HaShabbos Kula Halacha Ki Rabbi Shimon? In all in Yoni Shabbos, wherever there's a machlokes between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda, we paskin like Rabbi Shimon. So, for example, that would apply to Muktzah. Number two, that would apply to, let's say, a Malacha Shein Tzrichel Gufa. Number three, it might apply to Dovah Shein Miskavim. There are many, many different debates between Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda, and Shabbos, and in all these, we paskin like Rabbi Shimon, barring one exception. Lebar, the only exception is Mimukta Machmas Mius. So according to one of the Amoraim, we're going to accept the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda in Mukta Machmas Mius. You have something that is disgusting, it's repulsive. Then, although Rabbi Shimon says, since you might want to use it, we'll talk about Ner Yoshin in a second, it's not Muktzah, but Rabbi Yehuda insists that it's Muktzah. And although we paskin like Rabbi Shimon in Muktzah, but in this case, according to this particular tradition, we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda in the case of Muktzah Machmas Mius. Ma'aninu, what's a case of Muktzah Machmas Mius? Ner Yoshan. So you have the Ner is actually the receptacle where they put the oil, and once you've used it already, it's Yoshan. It's kind of disgusting. You know, you wouldn't want to eat from it. It has that, you know, some of that black stuff, you know, that collected in the Nair. And we're going to paskin now like Rabbi Yehuda, according to this Mandi Omar, that it's mukt. So he cannot use this Nair, because the Nair Yoshan and it's mukt to Machmas Mius. But Chad Omar, according to another opinion, the mukt to Machmas Mius, Nami Alokha Rabbi Shimon, even in this case of a Nair Yoshan, we accept the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. But there is one case where we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda and Muktzah. Lebar, with the exception, is Mimuktzah Machmas Isur. So, for example, let's say you lit a candle on Erev Shabbos. That candle and the receptacle holding the oil is Muktzah, even after the candle goes out. And we're going to paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, that since it was Muktzah, Bein Hashmash is going into Shabbos, because of the Isur of Kibui, we're not allowed to put out a Ner, is therefore Huktzah L'chol Hayoma. And the Gemara says, my new Ner Shed Liku Vaviyosa Shabbos, on Erev Shabbos he lit the candle, and he's not allowed to be metaltel it, because the receptacle is now a bosses for the Shalheves, which is Muktzah. You're not allowed to be metaltel it for the entire Shabbos. Avol Muktzah Machmas Kisar Kis Afilu Rav Shimon Moda. There's no machlokas between Rav Yudah, Rav Shimon, and Muktzah Machmas Kisar Kis, as we said above, because even Rav Shimon concedes that if it's Muktzah Machmas Chisaron Kis, it's very expensive, sensitive, and he locks it up, he puts it away, then he cannot change his mind to be metaltel. Disnan kol hakelim nitola b'shabbos chutz mimasar agodol v'yosei shel machresha. These are kelim that are also metaltel, even according to Rav Shimon, because they have very sensitive teeth. And one is called a masar agodol, that's a large saw that's used to saw down trees, wood. And then you have a yosei shel machresha. These are the teeth of a hoe or a threshing plow. V'chein yosei tshemach resha. This is mukta machmas chisar and kiss. It means even during the weekday, he's very careful not to use them for any other purposes except what he needs it for. Otherwise, it'll get ruined and it'll take a serious financial loss. And even Rav Shimon agrees that this is also betiltel and it's mukta. The Mishnah now that we're about to learn addresses the question of hataras nedarim on Shabbos. Are you allowed to be matir and neder on Shabbos? And we're going to talk about various kinds of activities that prevent tumah from entering into the house. And all this has to do in the case of what's called medidas mitzvah, meaning when you have to measure something for the purpose of a mitzvah. You're allowed to measure things on Shabbos for the purpose of a mitzvah. So first, let's go keseder. We'll talk about hataras nedarim. Mifirim nedarim b'Shabbos. If a married woman took a neder, or if a young girl took a neder, the baal, the husband, in the case of a married woman, and the father, in the case of a young girl, have rights to be mefir nedarim. That's the beginning of Parashas Matos. And they're allowed to use those rights, exercise them even on Shabbos. So that's called hafara. Vinish olim linedarim. And likewise, a chacham is permitted to be matir and neder on Shabbos. However, the Mishnah qualifies this. Kishehein litzorech Shabbos. Only a neder which interferes with Shabbos. For example, if a person took a vow that he would not enjoy Tanugim on Shabbos, and he now is barred from fulfilling the mitzvah of Onik Shabbos. So that's called a Hataras Nedarim Litzorech Shabbos, because by being Mata the Neder, we will facilitate his ability to be Mekayim the mitzvah of Onik Shabbos. Next, the Mishnah goes on to allow us pokekin es hama'ar. Ma'ar is a window from the word ar, because the window lets in light. And under certain circumstances, we're allowed to close up this window, pokekin. We can plug it up. And the reason we're doing this, as we'll see in the Gemara, is so that tumah will not enter into the window through the window. Let's say there's a dead body, and the window now can become a pass-through to bring the tumah into the house, unless we plug up the window, we close the window. Modedin es hamatlis. You're allowed to measure on Shabbos the dimensions of a piece of cloth, because as far as tumah is concerned, the minimum size of a piece of cloth is what's called sholosh al sholosh etzbos, 3x3 finger breadths, and only such a shear, a minimum shear of a cloth, is considered a beged to be makabel tumah. And he's allowed to measure this piece of cloth in order to determine whether or not it has the shear that's royal kabbalas tumah. Modin is a mikvah. Likewise, you're allowed to measure a mikvah to make sure that it has 40 sov of mayim, and therefore it's kosher limikvah. It also, by the way, has to have a certain size. It has to have what's called ama al ama, shalosh amos begova. So it's got to have an ama al ama in its height and shalosh amos in its width. And all this he's allowed to measure on Shabbos for the sake of the mitzvah of mikvah. Maisa bimei aviv shal rabbi tzadok bimei abba shal ben botnis. Shepokaku es hama'or, that these two great scholars actually plugged up a window on Shabbos, b'tofiach. Tofiach is an earthenware vessel, and there's a certain principle, which we'll see in the Gemara, about a kli cheres, an earthenware vessel, that it's not makabel tumah b'gabo, from its outside. So what he did was, he plugged up the window with this flask that was made of earthenware so that the tumah would not enter into the house. the kashru es hamikeda. There's a certain kind of a bowl that's also made from earthenware, and they tied it down begemi with a kind of a glass utensil. And why did they do this? Leda im yesh ba gigis poseach tefach im lav. So a gigis is some sort of a large barrel, and they had to measure this gigis to see whether it had an opening. There was a crack in the gigis. The Gemara is going to explain this soon. And to see whether that crack has the minimum size of a tefach, which would allow the tumah to escape. Anyway, midivram lamadu, from the fact that these two greats were willing to calculate whether or not there was a poseach tefach, we see that pokekin umodedin v'koshrim v'shabbos, that for the sake of making sure that there's no tumah, we're going to allow, number one, to plug up the window on a temporary basis. Number two, to tie, number two is molded in to calculate the tefach and see whether there's a tefach or not. Number three, to tie down this glass reed to the mekedeya, to the mekeda, in order to tie it down on a temporary basis so that we can measure that crack in the gigas. Now we go back to Hafaras Nedarim, Yiboylehu. The Gemara vacillates on the following question. Hafara, we say that a Baal could be made for his wife's neder on Shabbos, and a father can be made for his daughter, his young daughter's neder on Shabbos. Is Bein Litzorchu Bein L'Shalo Litzorech? Is it true that there's a carte blanche, absolute blanket heter for Hafaras Nedarim on Shabbos? And the Baal could be mefer his neder, his wife's neder, v'yom shamo, only on the day he hears about it. Tomorrow, if the day passes, he won't be able to be mefer nedarim, because the Torah says in Parshas Matos, v'yom shamo. And now, if we enjoin him from being mefer neder on Shabbos, then on Sunday he won't be able to be mefer the neder. So the Rabbanu and Mekil, they were lenient, and they allowed Hafaras Nedarim even Shalo Litzarech Shabbos, even if it wasn't a neder that would impose or encroach upon her ability to fulfill the mitzvah of Shabbos, they still allowed him to be made for neder. The Mishnah says it's only Litzarech that we allowed it. That's Visha'ela. That's only in the case of a Chacham. It's not tragic if we tell the Chacham that he should wait until Sunday to be Matir Neder. So Litzorch in, if there's a pressing need on Shabbos to remove this nether for the sake of clearance, so that now we'll be clear to fulfill the mitzvah of Shabbos, then we're going to allow Hataras Nedarim on the part of a Chacham on Shabbos. But Shalom Litzorch, lo! If this Hataras Nedarim could wait, could tolerate postponement until Sunday, we're not going to allow him to do this Hataras Nedarim on Shabbos. Let him wait until Sunday, because it's Shalom Litzorch Shabbos. We now understand why the Tana and the Mishnah set up two bavos, two sections. Number one, Hafaras Nedarim. Number two, Nish'olim L'Nedarim, which is Hataras HaChacham. And that would mean that the requirement, the condition of Litzarech is only applicable in the last case, namely in the case of She'elas Chacham. But in the case of Hafaras Nedarim, as we said before, for the pressing need for him to be made for Nedarim today, when B'yom Shamo, we're going to allow him to be made for Nedarim of his wife or his daughter, even if it's Shalol Litzor. Oh, Dilma, here's the other side of the Gemara Sofing. Hafara Nami, even in the case of Hafaras Nedarim of the Baal, or the father, we have the same restriction, Litzor in, we're only allowed to be made for a neder on Shabbos if it's a tzorach. Shabbos shalol tzorach lo. V'hadaka poliglu by adodi. So why did the Mishnah separate into two sections, hafara and hatara, if they're all identical in halacha? And the answer is mishum da hafara ain't tzorach bezdin u'she'el tzricha bezdin. Because there's a special chiddush here that not only in the case of hafara, where we don't need to get together a bezdin, it's just the immediate decision of the Baal or the father that accomplishes the Hafaras Nedarim, So that they were more lenient, but in the case of She'ela, we need a Bezdin. We need a special body of authority. If it's not a Bezdin of three, then it'd be one Chacham, who's a Yachid Mumcha, he's an expert in Nedarim. In any event, there are all sorts of requirements in She'ela on a Neder, and therefore maybe we should be more Machmer. So the Mishnah sets it up as a separate category. Toshma, the Gemara now wants to answer this original suffix by quoting a brisa, de tani zute de bay Rav Papa, mafira nidar b'shabbos l'tzorach ha-shabbos in shalo l'tzorach ha-shabbos lo. And in this brisa it says explicitly that even in the case of hafaras nidarim, we have the restriction that we could only allow hafaras nidarim if it's l'tzorach shabbos, but if shalo l'tzorach shabbos, that's not permitted. Lishnach rina. Now the Gemara offers a different...
Rabbi,
yes, please.
Listen, listen. If you go to the father's allowed to do
Adar Sarai
on the day that she made up.
Oh, no, not on the day that she made the Neder, on the day that he heard about the Neder. She may have taken the Neder a week ago, a month ago, but on the very day, we give him until nightfall of that day to make his decision. If he's passive and he makes no decision, the Neder is automatically binding, and tomorrow he does not have the rights of Hafara. Correct. He hears about it on Shabbos, and the Neder has nothing to do with Shabbos. The Gemara vacillates back and forth, and the final conclusion of the Gemara is that he cannot be made for Nedarim. That Neder would automatically stand because we're not going to allow him to be made for Neder on Shabbos if it's Shalom Letzorach Shabbos. Lishnach Rina, another transmission of this suffix, he boiluhu litzorach atravayu ketani. Shall we say that this requirement that has to be litzorach Shabbos applies to both the cases of hataras chacham and even hafaras habal, v'shalo litzorach lo, and in the case of shalo litzorach, they would not allow him even for hafaras habal. And this is an assumption that the requirement of Litzorach, that restriction applies even in the case of Hafaras HaBaal. Alma, Hafaras Nidarim, may ace li ace. And what the Gemara is saying now is that if a Baal hears about his Neder on Shabbos, then you know what? According to this piece of Gemara, it's not critical that he be made for the Neder on Shabbos. We're going to give him even beyond Shabbos. Why? That's called mi'es li'es, which means that it's not, as I told you before, that we give him until sunset of that day that he heard the Neder. We're going to give him a full 24 hours so that if he heard about the Neder on Shabbos, then by definition he's going to be able to be made for the Neder after Shabbos, and therefore we're going to restrict the lenience that allows him to be made for Neder only to the Tzorech Shabbos. But if it's Shalom Litzorach Shabbos, we're going to tell him, you don't lose anything by postponing your hafara till after Shabbos. O Dilma, should we say, Ki Ketani Litzorach HaShe'ela Udiktani? When the Mishnah restricts the heter of Shabbos to a case where it's Litzorach Shabbos, that's only as far as She'elas Chacham is concerned, which can tolerate delay until after Shabbos. Aval Hafaras Nedarim is Afil Shalom Litzorach. We're going to allow Hafaras Nedarim, even if the Neder has nothing whatsoever to do with Shabbos, because Alma Hafaras Nedarim Kol Hayom. It's not Me'es Li'es, but we give him Yom Shamo until the end of that day. So if he hears about the Neder of his wife 1 hour before Shkia, he's got one full hour to be made for Nedarim. Once the sun sets on that day that he heard about it, he no longer has rights to be made for Nedarim, and therefore there's a pressing urgency to allow him to be made for his wife's Nedarim on Shabbos, if he heard about it on Shabbos. And therefore we're going to be lenient and allow Hafaras Nedarim on Shabbos, even Shalom Litzorach Shabbos, because otherwise he will forfeit his ability to be made for Nedarim. We have to allow for a certain leniency. Toshma, Titani Rav Zuti, Debei Rav Papi, Mefir Nedarim B'Shabbos Litzorach Shabbos, Litzorach Shabbos in Shalom Litzorach Shabbos Lo, Alma Hafaras Nedarim, Mi'es Li'es, that we're going to be very strict and limited about the leniency of Hafaras Nedarim. We're going to restrict it to the case of Litzorach Shabbos, and we'll tell him, you know what? Mr. Baal, no loss. As soon as you make Havdalah, then you can be made for your wife's Nedarim, because our first Nedarim is Meis Leis. It gives you a full 24 hours from the time that you heard about it. The Gemara asks the Kashem Rav Ashi, Vanan Tanan, we have a mission in Nedarim that says our first Nedarim, Kol Hayom, meaning the entire day until nightfall. V'yesh b'davar lahakil ulahachmir. This halach that we give him until nightfall is both a chumra and a kula. Ketzad, how could it be a kula? I mean, after all, you're restricting the amount of time that he has to be made for Nedarim. That sounds like a chumra. Why is it called a kula? And the answer is Nedara Leil Shabbos, Leil Shabbos. If she took a neder and the husband found out about the neder, and it's the night of Shabbos, Mefir Leil Shabbos v'Yom HaShabbos Ad Shetechshach. We're going to allow him to be Mefir the neder anytime during the course of the Shabbos, even if it's Shalom Letzarech Shabbos. That's a kula because we hold that Hafaras Nedarim is Kol Hayom, until the end of that day. Nedara Im Chashecha, let's say she took the neder 1 hour before nightfall, Mefir Ad Shalom Tefshach. He's got that 1 hour to be Mefir. If he doesn't utilize the opportunity to exploit that for Hafara, Im Lo Hefer Meshach Chashecha, Eini Yochel Hafer. He cannot be Mefer after nightfall, because we're not going to give him a full 24 hours. We don't accept the opinion of Meis Leis. We only accept the opinion of Bo Bayom, of Kol Hayom. So how can you, as we saw before, based on a brisa, interpret our Mishnah, that our Mishnah maintains the position that Hafaras Nedarim is Meis Leis, and therefore we can allow him, in a case of a Neder Shalom Letzarech, to wait for his Hafar till after Shabbos. Here we see that he has until nightfall and not beyond, because it's only Kol Hayom, but not Meis Leis. So Gemara answers Tanoihi. This issue is actually a machlokas tanoim, and the sanya we have in a brisa, afaras nedarim kol hayom. We have the Tanakama, the Chachomim, that hold that afaras nedarim is only during the day that he heard about it, and in such a case will be mekil and will allow on Shabbos for the Baal to be made for his wife's nedarim, even if it's shalom letzara. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon Amru Meis La'ez. No, we'll give him a full 24 hours. We'll start counting, the clock will tick from the moment he hears about the neder for 24 full hours. Therefore, we're going to be more strict about allowing hafara on Shabbos. We're going to tell the husband, look, what's pressing? The neder was not in any way inhibiting her ability to enjoy the Shabbos fully. And you'll have an ability to be made for the neder after Shabbos, because according to these two Tanoim, Rav Yossi and Rav Elazar, is Hafaras Nedarim is Meis La'ez. We're going to count 24 hours from the moment that he heard about the neder. The Mishnah says, Nish'olim l'nedarim, that you can go to a Chacham on Shabbos, if it's Litzarech Shabbos, and ask for a She'elas Chacham, and he'll be matu the neder. Yiboyeluhu, kishalo hoyolo p'nai, odil ma'afilu hoyolo p'nai. This leniency that we found in our Mishnah, allowing Hataras Nedarim through a Chacham, is that only in a case where before Shabbos there was no time, there was no possibility of being matir the neder? Or shall we be even more liberal and more lenient and say, even though he had time to do this before Shabbos, if it wasn't taken care of, then Hataras Nedarim is okay on Shabbos? Toshma will bring it from a story as Kiku Le Rabbona L'Rav Zutra Berei D'Rav Zera V'Sharu Le Nidre Afal Gav D'Havi Le Pnai, that the Rabbonon were matir the neder of Rav Zutra, even though on Shabbos, even though he had there was a time allotment for Hataras Nedarim before Shabbos. Now, the Mishnah tells us a story about Pakuku es Hama'or B'Tofiach, that in order to close off an opening into the house, in this case a window, so that the Tumah would not go through the window and convey Tumah through the entire house, they allowed Pakuku, meaning to plug up this window on Shabbos with a tafiach. Tafiach, we said, was a flask that was made of earthenware. And we'll see Dafka why they chose earthenware to plug up this window, this opening. V'kashu es ha-mekeda. And a mekeda is also kind of a bowl that was made of earthenware, b'gemi. And gemi, we said, was that that reed that he uses to measure the mekeda. And the Gemara now goes into detail about what was going on. What exactly was happening on that fateful Shabbos in which they allowed you to be pokek the chalon with a tafiach, they allowed you to tie the kli shel cheres down with a gemi. Om Rav Yehuda Marav, Hilkati Ktana Hoysa. Rashi explains that there were two houses, and between the two houses there was a hilkati, a small, a very narrow shvil, a very narrow pathway between two houses. V'tuma hoysa sham. And there was a dead body that was laying, a corpse, on this hilkati, on this pathway. This very narrow, we'll call it for our purposes, an alleyway. And now we turn to Daf Kuf Nun Zayin Omid Beis. Now, because this alleyway separating the two houses was very narrow, the distance between the roof of one house and the roof of the next house was a very small distance. V'gigis Sduka Munachas Al Gavon. There was some sort of a barrel, and this barrel was laying down on this crossing, shall we say, bridging the two houses. So now what you have is, you have a roof, so to speak. I mean, the roof is a barrel. We'll see in a minute that the barrel was cracked, and we have to determine how large the crack is, but let's say the barrel was not cracked. And it bridges the two houses, because it's lying on the top of the two houses. So the corpse is in the middle, in the alleyway between the two houses. And what we need to do, in order to prevent the tumah of the corpse to enter into the houses, let's assume for argument's sake that the windows of the houses on both sides are open. So what we need to do is we have to close off the escape route, so to speak, of the tumah, which means that we have to trap the tumah. How are we going to trap the tumah so it doesn't spread to the right or to the left? We're going to close it off on top. How do we close it off on top? With a gigas, because we have a barrel that forms now like a quasi-roof that connects the two houses on top. However, the problem with this gigas is that it's stuka. It happens to be cracked. So I'll just read to you quickly the Hebrew translation here. He says, Gigis stuka isamunachas al gavan al mechitzos abatim ve'ehila al ashvil. Ehila is the verb of an oel. It means it's a roof that roofs the corpse. Va'mes hayumunach takas ha-gigis kineged ha-sedak. So if you would draw a line from the crack of this barrel all the way down, you would hit the corpse, so to speak. So that the corpse is keneged ha-sedak. And now, if the sedak is less than a tefach, in other words, imagine a tefach, right? Right, we'll call it 4 inches, whatever you want to call it, right? If the crack in the barrel, we have to know, we have to measure it, but if the crack in the barrel is less than a tefach, then ein atuma, ein latumas avesef sharut la'alot lemala ulikanes el toch habat derech hachalon shepatuach. He says that if this sedek, this crack in the barrel, is insignificant, that means it's less than a tefach, then you have a OL, a gigas that will now block the tumma, and the tumma doesn't spread into the windows of the house. Now, at this point, they don't know whether or not, right, whether or not this tzedek is a tefach or not. If it's a tefach wide, then it's not going to be matzil b'fnei tumah. It doesn't prevent the tumah from going into the bottom. So there's a 50% chance, let's assume, that the tzedek is a tefach wide. So therefore, what precautions did they take? Pakaku es hama'or b'tofiach. They saw that the problem is going to arise, even, let's say, even before the death of the person. And what they did was, is they plugged up the window of the house by using a tafiach. Now, a tafiach, as I said before, I'll re-emphasize this, is a kad, some sort of a flask, and it's made of earthenware. Now, the halacha of kli cheres is that migabo, there's no tumah. No, it's in a kli cheres, an earthenware, the tumah has to enter inside the kli. It doesn't penetrate from the outside of the kli. So what they did was they made sure that the outside of the kli would be facing the shvil, this alleyway, so that the tumah would not enter into the window, because they plugged up the window with a kli cheres and they turned the gava kli. So let's say, normally, the opening of the kli is on top, correct? But if you turn it to its side, then the gav hakli is now facing the alleyway. So in event that the person dies, the corpse will not convey tumah into the window, because it's going to smack up against the side of the earthenware kli. And the gav of the kli, cheres, is not makabel tumah. So therefore, kodem shemes, sasmu, and this all took place on Shabbos, sosmu es hachalon bekad shel cheres kshegav hakad mufne litzad hachutz, so that the side of the earthenware barrel was tipped and facing the outside, meaning where the mess was in the alleyway. The kevan shel kli cheres ein mitami migavo al kein hapach nechshav lechatzitza. Anything that doesn't allow tuma to enter is automatically a chatzitz, it's a barrier. Okay, so now we're working on two different fronts. On the one end, we're trying to prevent the tuma in event that the gigas on top has an opening, a crack that's more than a tefach, so that the tuma now will not be trapped. So we have to now plug up the windows, and we're going to do so by putting this kad shel cheres, which we called tafiach, on its side, on its gav, and make it a machitza, and we're going to plug up a window. So maybe even though we don't usually plug up windows, but in this case we're going to allow plugging up the window and closing the window on a temporary basis. He's not going to leave it there permanently, so that he can protect the contents of his house from receiving tumah. Okay, now let's go back to the gigas, right? We're trying on all fronts. So there's another possibility, and that is to trap the tumah inside the alleyway by making sure that the gigas does not have an opening of a tefach. So now we have to measure the crack of the gigas. How do we do so? Kashru es hamakeda. Now, what they did was, this makeda is going to be the instrument which they're going to use to measure the width of this crack that's up in the barrel on top, that is the bridge that goes across from one house to the other. So now, they take a kli cheres, we're talking about earthenware, and again, this is not the same kli cheres, let's not confuse it. This makeda is not the same as the tafiach. The tafiach was used in order to plug up the window. But now what we're doing is we need a kli, and we know the size of this kli. This makeda has the size of a tefach. we're going to tie down this Makeda with Gemi. And again, we're going to make a temporary knot so that we don't violate Shabbos with the Keshe Shel Kayoma. And then with this Gemi, which is kind of like a stick, we're going to raise the stick up to the Gigas. And at the end of the stick, you have this Makeda. And the Makeda now, since it's a Tefach, we'll see, can it fit in to that crack? If it fits into the crack, we know the crack is larger than a Tefach. Leda im Yesham v'Gigas Poseach Tefach. In love, or it doesn't. Now, based on this whole story where they allowed this, we conclude that you're allowed both to do this measuring, and you're allowed to also tie the kli in a temporary basis, and you're also allowed to plug up a window. So all that we derive from this story. And that's what the Mishnah concludes, midivrem lamanu shepokekim, right? We plug up the window, and that we did with the tafiach, modedin, right, with the help of this Gemi and the Makedo, we were able to measure the opening in the crack on the Gigas, the Koshrin, and we were able to tie down the Gemi to the Makedo. And all this we allowed on Shabbos because of the mitzvah, in this case, to maintain Tahara, to make sure that the Tumah does not spread. Ula ikla lebe reish galusa. Ukla on one occasion visited the reish galusa. Chazia l'rabba baravuna di Yosef. He noticed Rabba was sitting biavana de maya. He was, so to speak, bathing in a barrel of water. V'kom moshachle. And he was measuring the size of the barrel. Amal leisa. Ula turns to Rabba in amazement. He says, Emer diomer abonon, when did abonon allow you to measure things on Shabbos? That's only medida de mitzvah. But now you want to just measure for this, you know, just for the sake of measuring, you know, this barrel that you're taking a bath in, a cold bath, is lav de mitzvah. So if it's not le mitzvah, then why were you allowed to do it? So the Gemara answered, "Mi Omar, did the Rabbanan allow you to do it?" So Rabbi responded, "Miss Asik bi Alma, no. I wasn't really deliberately trying to measure it. I was doing it l'shashua, so to speak, just inadvertently. That's called misasek. I have no need for this medida, for this measurement. I'm merely busying myself. I'm not doing it purposely for any particular purpose, and therefore it's not included in the Iser Derabbanan." Hadron Alecha Perik Misha Hechshech V'Slikale Masechta Shabbos. And with this we conclude Masechta Shabbos. So Mirtz Hashem B'li Neder, tomorrow we go on to the third Masechta in the Daf Yomi program for Shabbos, and that's Masechta Erevin. And B'li Neder, tomorrow I'll try to give a little bit of an introduction to Masechta Erev.
Thank you, Rabbi Gerson.